reason we couldn't take any more questions is because in the Antarctic, it's getting even colder than it normally is right now. And with every minute that ticks away, the scientist who's hooking up outside the research station is running some risk. In addition, we're actually losing a little bit of light down on the Antarctic where the research station is. And so so Angela's doing her magic now. Angela, where is the research station on that
map? The research station is... one moment, Kim. We're almost there.
Good.
The research station is in the tip of the Antarctic Peninsula. And I was there a couple of years ago. And when I got there, I said, I have to show this to the world. We're almost there. And so, Jeff, any minute now... now, wait a minute.
I can see her on your laptop.
There.
It's just a matter of getting it up on the screen. The wind looks like it's really blowing and really cold.
Okay, one moment. We're getting there, Kim. Okay, and so without further ado, 1 minute. Dean, and now. Okay. I'm connecting you, Kim. Okay, wait. Okay.
And if we really want to push the technology at the end, then Angela is going to actually lift up her Skype camera and laptop and turn it toward the audience so that we can all say hello to the researchers down in the Antarctic.
So what I wanted to tell you is that when I first approached the National Science Foundation...
There she is.
There she is.
Say hello, Kim.
Hi, Kim. So... Okay, okay, let's try again, Kim. Hello, Kim. Can
Hello.
You hear?
All right. Hello, Miami.
Wonderful, wonderful. So, Kim, there you are at Palmer Research Station. Thank you very much. Tell us, what time is it there and how cold is it?
It's about 8:30 p.m. It's just about freezing. And the wind is blowing about 30 miles per hour. So excuse me if I shoot off the screen.
So we're talking to a zooplankton ecologist, Dr. Kim Bernard. She's from South Africa, and she has been coming to Antarctica for the past several seasons to study the many aspects of the microbial and the molecular communities. Kim, why don't you turn the computer very slowly and show us where you are?
Sure, it'll be my pleasure. So as we're turning this, you can see Arthur Harbor. I hope you can hear me with all the wind. And there's a glacier in the background, the Mar Glacier. And then as we move on further, we get to some of the buildings of Palmer Station. And Palmer Station is one of three of the United States Antarctic Program stations in Antarctica, and it's one of the smallest.
Beautiful. It seems to me that the wind has died down, Kim. I mean, earlier you were like in under a little hurricane.
I'm not sure if it's died down.
Never mind. Okay, Kim, tell us... why is the Western Antarctic Peninsula, and therefore Palmer Station, why is it such a crucial outpost for the study of climate change?
Okay, well, the Western Antarctic Peninsula is experiencing one of the most rapid increases in winter air temperatures on the entire planet. So winter air temperatures here have actually increased by approximately 1 degree Celsius per decade over the last 50 or so years. And in addition to this, there's been an increase in ocean heat content. So that means the temperature of the surface waters. And as these warmer waters come to the continent of Antarctica, we're now seeing changes in sea ice dynamics. So the sea ice extent is decreasing by approximately 1,720 kilometers square per year, and the duration of the sea ice extent is reduced by approximately 83 days over the last 20 or so years. Mm-hmm. And so majority of these changes are happening in the northern part of the peninsula, and this is exactly where Palmer Station is situated. making this an ideal place to study climate change.
So global warming, therefore, we all know now, is changing the heart of Antarctica. What specific changes you and your other researchers at Palmer seem to be witnessing with the marine, within the marine ecosystem adjacent to Palmer Station in the past few years that are attributable to climate change?
Well, with the increases in air temperature and sea temperature, and then the coinciding decrease in sea ice extent, we're actually seeing some major changes in the marine pelagic ecosystem of the Western and Antarctic Peninsula. So at the base of the food web, the phytoplankton, which are the plants of the oceans, they are decreasing in biomass. And then this is obviously having knock-on effects further up the food chain through the zooplankton, which are the drifting animals of the oceans, right the way up to the top predators, such as the Adélie penguins, the whales, and the seals. The Adélie penguins, in particular, are declining very rapidly in the region around Palmer Station. And this is due to a variety of climate change drivers. One of them, obviously, is changes in their food availability, so in the Antarctic krill. But another is that with the increase in air temperature, we're seeing an increase in precipitation. So during the early spring months, we're getting a lot of snow here now. And in fact, I think it's snowing behind me right now. And what this does is it covers the ground, and the Adélie penguins, when they are starting to build their nests, which they build on the ground, they're actually unable to do that when there is a lot of snow around. And then also, when the penguin chicks hatch, if there's a lot of snow and rain, they get covered by this, and then they have a higher chance of freezing to death. So we're seeing much higher penguin chick mortality at the moment.
And of course, which is sad, I remember seeing less and less penguins, and I remember Dr. Fraser telling us how there were many less penguins every season. But as a zooplankton ecologist, you know, you must have also noticed changes within your field. What have you seen specifically, you know, in that area?
Okay, well, the zooplankton, too, they're responding to changes in the seawater temperature, as well as the changes in the sea ice dynamics, and also in the food availability, and that would be the phytoplankton biomass. Animals like the Antarctic krill, which are a key component of the Antarctic marine food web, and which also rely very heavily on sea ice dynamics, are now becoming very scarce in this region. Their abundances are dropping very dramatically. And in their place, we're starting to see another type of zooplankton called a salp. And salps actually occur much further north in the warmer waters where there is no ice. But over the last few years, we've started to see them right the way down the peninsula, and they can be very abundant. And the problem with this is that the Adélie penguins, as I mentioned earlier, they eat primarily Antarctic krill, which has very high nutritional value. And they can't shift their diet to salps, and salps have very low nutritional value.
So we go from the molecular to the macroscopic too. But then I also understand something is interestingly going on with the permafrost in Antarctica, which we are used to thinking of the permafrost in the Arctic. But now there is some research going on in that sense in Palmer, right?
Yes, I believe so. Dr. James Bockheim from the University of Wisconsin-Madison led a group of scientists that spent a few months down here at Palmer Station earlier this year, and they were installing some shallow soil monitoring stations, and these were put in the area to monitor soil temperature over a period of time, and they're going to use these data to predict the impact of climate change on carbon flux through the soil.
Dr. Bernard, a little bit more personal, you know, as you stand there inspired by this stark, brutal beauty of Antarctica, in your private thoughts, in those moments, you know, quiet times, do you ever have this palpable dread of what your research is telling humanity?
Well, Angela, people ask me all the time, is climate change real? We're seeing the effects of it right now all over the world, from an increase in severe weather and altered weather patterns that have resulted in a huge impact on economies and public health worldwide, to local extinctions and a growing endangered species list. But it's when I come to Antarctica that it really hits me most profoundly. Climate change is real. It's happening right here before our very eyes. Mm-hmm. I think, so sure, my research does make me worried about what's happening and, you know, what we're telling humanity. But I think more than that, I'm quite disturbed by how the majority of people worldwide view climate change. Climate change is real. It's happening now in our lifetime. The question is, are we ready to take responsibility, to take action? We can make a difference. We just really need to be willing.
And so, onam, yeah. A little bit. And we journalists also try to make a difference, Kim. Sometimes we have to use charismatic speeches to do it. And on a much lighter note and on that tone, where are the penguins tonight?
Well, the Adélie penguins are just starting to come to the islands in the nearby, you know, nearby vicinity to Palmer Station. They're getting ready for the breeding season. And over the next few months, we at Palmer Station will be very privileged to be able to watch the adults earnestly building their nests out of rocks and then sheltering their eggs from the harsh weather. And then we'll get to watch the chicks hatch and grow up, hopefully to fledge later on in the season. And as you said, this is a very harsh environment, but the beauty here is astounding.
Dr. Bernard, I want to thank you and also the National Science Foundation because they understood the value of having this crowd seeing this broadcast. I mean, to do this is not easy. We had to pretty much shut down half of the Palmer Station wideband. So all the scientists are just going fishing because we're talking. So thank you. And I'm going to try to show you. I don't know if you can see.
Oh, wow.
What a great audience you have. We have lots of great people. The Secretary of Interior, as you know, the entire Cousteau team, all these wonderful journalists, not just from the States, but from other parts of the world. So thank you very much, and may you go on to deeper understanding of Antarctica. Thank you, Kim, and thank you, Jeff, behind the camera.
Thank you all.